Please open them to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read verses 5 through 14 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Genesis 22, verses 5 through 14. We'll read this passage. I'll pray. You'll be seated. We'll have a special, and then I'll come back and preach to you. But this is just one of those. We're going to enjoy church this morning, all right? Yeah. So if you got a sour attitude, while I pray, spit it on the floor. Don't physically spit on my floor, all right? But get rid of your bad attitude, because we're going to enjoy God for a little while this morning. And I want you to get a truth that will revolutionize your life. Genesis chapter 22, verses 5 through 14. Let's read responsively. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. We need you today in a special way. Lord, we stand before you sinners and more needy than we even know we are. I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to rejoice in you. Help us to give you a little bit more praise, a little bit more honor, and a little bit more glory for what you deserve. Help us to get our eyes off ourselves and on you a little better. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me give you what I think is a gold nugget this morning of truth. If you'll pay attention, and I think if you'll leave your Bible open, we'll refer back to it a little bit, but I just want you to listen at the beginning here, and let me catch you up to speed where the Bible is in the story. The event, if you've been in church any time at all, would be semi-familiar to you. If you're new to church, I'll retell a little of the story because I don't want you to miss this. But God came to Abraham many years before this and said, "Look, Abraham, you're down in the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. I want you to leave there to go to a place you've never seen, never place you've ever been to." He said, "You just follow my lead. I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to take you to a place, and you're going to become the father of a great nation." By the way, that nation is the nation Israel. Yes. He said, "I'll make you the father of a great and mighty nation." And Abraham left and followed the Lord to the land that is now what we call Israel or Canaan land. And I'm not going to go through the whole process of how all that worked. Abraham had a son. But that first son that he had was not Isaac. God said, "Look, I want you to wait and I'll give you a son." But Abraham and Sarah, his wife, got a little impatient on God. Abraham was getting up in years. He was in his 80s, near 90. Sarah was in her late 60s, early 70s. And they got impatient on God. And Sarah said, "Look,
I'm not to the point where I can have kids anymore. You take my handmaid, and you have a child with her, and his name was, he was born, and his name was Ishmael. But lo and behold, about 10 years later, Abraham's 100, and Sarah was 90. She got up one morning and didn't feel real well and threw up. She got up the next morning and didn't feel real well and threw up. She said, I just don't know what's going on. In the mornings, I'm getting sick all the time. After a few days of that, she done got checked out and found out she was ready to have a baby. Now, there's hope for you, Fred and Wally. Wow, did you see the look I got on that one? Wow, I'm not sure a bulletproof vest would have helped that one. Wow, that was coming back harsh. I was going to say for my mom and dad, but I'm not doing that. I don't need a little brother, amen? Now, you have to understand something. The son born to Sarah was the promised child of God. But it wasn't Abraham's firstborn child. Ishmael was. Ishmael was part Egyptian and part Jew. Ishmael became the father of the Muslims. And the problem we have today between the Arabs and the Jews are over Ishmael and Isaac and Abraham's sin with Hagar. The problems we have in the Middle East today are because Abraham and Sarah got impatient on God and tried to do it their way, not God's way. By the way, this is a battle that will not stop. It's a battle that will continue up until the Battle of Armageddon. And by the way, I don't suggest you do this, but you can read the Quran, and the Quran will even tell you that there will be war until there's a 1,000-year reign. And it's a war called Armageddon. Well, I hate to tell you something, it's coming. But we're not going to, if you're saved, you won't have to worry about it, because you'll have already been in heaven for 7 years. And we're going to get front row seats watching Jesus kick the snot out of them. He's going to kick a barrel of whoop on them and open it up on top. Amen. Now, God tells Abraham here, though, in Genesis 22. He said, Abraham, I want you to go up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to give a sacrifice to me. He said, but I don't want you to take a lamb or a ram. I want you to take Isaac. And notice the wording that God uses. He said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. God did not recognize Ishmael as Abraham's son because he wasn't the promised seed. Isaac was the promised seed. Now you know why the Arabs, and I don't mean that in a crude way. This is not a racial thing. But now you know why the Arabs are upset with the Jews. Ishmael was born first. They feel like they have rights to it because of being the firstborn, but they weren't the firstborn promised seed of God. Isaac was. And God promised it to Isaac, not to Ishmael. Isaac is the byproduct of Abraham and Sarah's doings, not Abraham and God. Yes. Isaac is the doing of God. That's why it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now, let me continue here in Genesis. Everybody doing okay? Some of you are looking at me like, whoa, this is really deep here. Hang on, it gets better. God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the promised son, Isaac, and I want you to use him as the sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. He was the promised seed. God was testing Abraham. Abraham takes his servants, one of the donkeys, loads it up with the wood. They've got the fire. They've got Abraham and Isaac and some of the servants, and they get to the mountain. He says, you guys stay here with the donkey, and you guys stay here. My son and I are going to take it from here, and we're going up the mountain. And by the way, just so you know, Isaac was not a little boy here. He was a grown man, probably in his 20s, college age. I want you to know, the Bible calls him a lad. That word lad doesn't mean child only. He was an adult man. You're not going to load an 8, 9, 10-year-old up with enough wood to burn a sacrifice. I know. I've done enough wood. Had enough of the limbs fall on my head, amen?
Had enough concussions this week to last me a lifetime. Now, God takes, or Abraham takes his son, and he takes him up, and Isaac is carrying the wood, Abraham is carrying the fire and the knife, and as they're getting there, Isaac looks around and says, something's missing. He said, Dad, this is Bush translation, and I'm not going to pervert the scriptures. He said, Dad, he said, got a question. He said, which question? He said, well, we got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? And I love what God says in Scripture. He said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He said, don't worry about it, son. God's going to provide himself a lamb. Okay, Dad. They get to the top of the mountain. They take the stones and lay them in place as God had instructed. They take the wood and lay the wood on top of the altar that they had made. And then comes the time. Come here, Brother Stoltz. You get to be Isaac today. Do you trust me? He said, son, man, it's hard calling somebody older than you son, you know? Get a long one. Stick him good. He said, son, God told me to bring you up here and you're going to be the sacrifice. Now, wait a minute. This wasn't a little boy. This is an adult man. A young adult man. He said, okay, Dad. And Abraham took the rope and tied his hands and his feet together, laid him on the altar. He reached for his knife to put his hand on his son's head to take the knife and slit his throat. Don't believe these picture books and picture Bibles that Abraham's got the knife up and going to plunge it in his chest. You didn't do that to a sacrifice. To a sacrifice, you cut the neck and caught the blood in a bowl. He had his neck stretched, grabbed for the knife, started to go towards his son, and the Bible says an angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, yes, sir. He said, you passed the test. And just behind him, there was a ram caught in the thicket. You say, what did he do first? He cut the ropes off his boy, got him off that thing. Then they went and caught the ram in the thicket. And used that ram as a sacrifice. Thank you. Now, Abraham did that which seems to be impossible, but he obeyed God. He obeyed God when it didn't make sense to him. I want you to notice one statement. This is the title of my sermon today. This is where we're going with the sermon today. Verse number 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Whew. I want you to notice something. Abraham didn't say God's going to provide a lamb. It didn't say God's going to provide a lamb. It said God's going to provide himself a lamb. Do you know what that was a picture of? Yeah, in a couple thousand years, Jesus would be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and he was going to have to die as the Lamb of God. And Jesus was God
in the flesh, God the Son, and he himself was the Lamb of God. God was going to provide himself as the sacrifice for our sin. Now watch this. But I want you to notice something. God also provided for Abraham and Isaac and the children of Israel, and God provided it himself to them. Can I tell you something? God doesn't just want to meet your needs. He wants to provide himself as the answer to your need. He doesn't want to be a genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle and say, God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. And all of a sudden, the genie gives you your wish. He wants to provide himself as part of the answer to your problem. God wants a relationship with you more than he wants to give you things. He wants to get to know you. Now,
he personally wants to meet the need we have while we obey him. But may I say this, if we don't obey him, we can't get himself. It's only in our obedience to what God asks us to do that we get God. Now, watch this. Recently, this statement, I've used it over and over and over and over again. Our church and the things that God is doing, I've used that statement to some of you men, some of you ladies. My secretary's heard it till she's tired of it. I just keep saying, God will provide himself. God will provide himself. God will provide himself. Well, we're getting ready to close on property, and God has provided himself.
Yes, sir.
Say, how's it happen? Obedience to God. As we obey God, God has provided himself. Do you remember what I said a long time ago before we jumped into this project? We're going to keep going after souls. We're going to keep bringing visitors to church. Keep seeing people get saved. Keep seeing people get baptized. Keep preaching the Bible the right way. And God's going to take care of what we cannot do. Guess what? God's providing himself. Bankers are scratching their heads. So-called intelligent people with money can't figure it out. You say, what's your answer to them, preacher? God.
Amen.
God. We had I'll get into that in a minute here. Can I tell you something? We have seen God provide himself to us as a church, to us as individuals. There's so much going on you don't know. I can't wait to get through the rest of the sermon. Let me teach you a little bit about God providing himself. Number one, God wants to see our obedience when we don't understand. God wants to see our obedience when we don't understand him. He wants us to trust him. Did you know there's not one verse in that book where God says, understand me? God never one time said, understand me as God. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second here. If you could understand God in every situation, you're as great or greater than God. Man wants to be God. Man wants to understand before he obeys. God says, you do what I tell you, and in the process, you'll gain understanding. God said the byproduct of obedience is understanding. Man says, I want understanding before I obey. That's not what it is. How many of you were in the military? Raise your hand. All right? You went through some of you little kids. That's funny. You might think it's military for a while, but it's not. You go through basic training for the first 8, 9, 12 weeks, whatever it is, depending on what you're doing. And there's something you learn at basic training. You obey whoever's in authority.
That's right.
If you're walking down and they say, get down, drop 10, you get down, drop 10 push-ups. If you say, why, you're doing 20. If you say, I don't understand, you're doing 30.
If you say, but, you're doing about 50 or 60 or 70, depending on how many times you said that. You say, why? They are trying to teach you instant obedience. Don't worry about the whys. Once you do it, the whys will take care of themselves. They're trying to train soldiers so that when they're under fire in real battle situations, they're not going to sit there and say, why should I get down in this hole in the ground while the bullets are flying at your head? Y'all understand?
Yes, sir.
Immediate obedience brings understanding. And that's what basic training teaches to a certain degree. They want obedience to become reflexive. Just like if somebody's going to poke in your eye, you're going to close your eyes or put your hand up. It's called reflex. All right? God says, I want obedience to be reflex. I want, no matter what I say, you say, yes, sir, we'll do it. And you start doing it, not just say, yes, sir. Did you know you can say, yes, sir, I'll do it, but if you don't do it, you didn't obey? Say, how do you know? Oh, there was many times when I was a kid, mom or dad would say, need to take trash out. Yes, sir. 5 minutes later, did you take trash out? Not yet. I'm going. Did I obey? I did that time. There wasn't a you better or else. It was you better or else the first time they said it, and I said, yes, sir. Most of the time I got in trouble for lying because I said, yes, sir, and I didn't do it. It wasn't just the disobedience. It was the lying about that I was gonna and I didn't. You see, it's the obedience to what you do that is the issue, not your willingness to obey. And I hate saying this, even not your lack of willingness to obey. You know, sometimes young people want to obey, but they portray that they don't want to obey. They need prompted to obey. It's called discipline. Say why? Because one day, they're going to get the driver's license, Neil. Malachi come walking into church with a driver's training book. You know how bad that made me feel? Lord have mercy. Stay on the roads and off the sidewalk. I mean, you say, what is that? If he hasn't learned how to obey his mom and dad, you get him in a 2,800, 3,000-pound weapon, put him on the road, and if he's not going to obey the laws that are on the road, people can die. It's vital that you learn how to obey. That's why you have the little... the cars with the little lights on top or in the front and the back. And if you don't obey, they turn their lights on and pull you over and you get these nice little pink tickets. Isn't that the color they are, Brother Stoltz?
Last
you checked, okay? I haven't had one in 27 years. Praise the Lord. Now, I say that, and I got it on my way to my wedding, just so you know. I say that to say this. You have to learn to obey. The more you're willing to obey, the more freedom you have to drive. The less you're willing to obey, the less your freedom to drive. They can take your driver's license away. God wants us to trust him. If we could understand everything about God, we would be God.
Man that I helped train in Bible college in his late 30s, pastoring in Bath, Maine. I don't understand why he died Friday. I don't understand why Rob Northrup passed away. Left his wife, Grace, with three children under the age of 13. I don't understand why that church has gone through their second death of a pastor in 2 years. I don't have to understand. I just have to trust and keep going. I've already put word in to see if there's anything we can do to be of help and of encouragement, see what we could do.
But may I say this, I don't understand it, but God does. I don't have to understand, I have to get through this and not worry about the understanding. Did you know that God will provide what you cannot as long as you obey him? That's what living by faith is.
Living by faith isn't positive mental attitude. Oh, just believe God. I believe God and it's all going to come out. Well, I can believe God that if I drop my keys, they're not going to fall to the ground. But guess what? They're going to fall. It's not power of positive thinking. It's not, well, I believe God. The devil believes and trembles. It's not a matter of belief. Faith is doing all you can do in obedience with the right attitude. And when you get to the end of the road, you say, okay, God, your turn. I've done all I can do. We raised money for our property. In the process, God gave us a $45,000 grant. Praise the Lord. As we started moving bond money and everything else, we found out we didn't have enough in bonds because some of them couldn't transfer. Thank God for the $45,000. God did what we could not do, and it's all cared for. And we're ready to close. You say, what is that? We moved in faith, doing what we could do. God said, when you can't do it anymore, I'll take care of the rest. Amen. And he did. You say, preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to keep winning souls. We're going to keep knocking on doors. We're going to keep telling people about Jesus. We're going to keep bringing visitors to church. Going to keep preaching the word of God, clear, plain, and King James only. Going to keep doing that which is right, so that when we can't do anymore, God says, I can bless you because you've been obeying me. Amen. That's what it's all about. We're going to squeeze people into here. It's going to get uncomfortable. I hate to tell you, it's going to get uncomfortable. But may I say this? As long as we're doing what we're supposed to do, God will take care of the rest.
Yes.
And I'm not worried about it. Now, it may not be in my timing, but it'll be in his timing, done his way, and it'll be right. Now, did you know Abraham went as far as he could go and did everything he was supposed to do? And then God said, look what I got, Abraham. I got a ram stuck in a thicket right behind you. Abraham, yes, sir. Don't take your son. No problem. I didn't want to anyway. He said, I've provided myself for you. God does not ask people to do things to prove that they will fail. God asks you to do something to prove that he will succeed. You know, God doesn't ask you to do something so that you'll fail. I don't mean this unkindly, but you as a parent don't ask your child to do something so that you can prove to them you know more than they know. Come here, Malachi. You're what, 14? I got more brains in that little finger than he's got in his whole head. He knows that, and I know that. I knocked a few of them out Monday with that log on top of my head, though. Wasn't thinking as straight as normal, amen? But wait a minute. I don't expect Malachi to know everything I know. But while we're out cutting wood, he doesn't know as much about cutting wood as I do. We've cut enough wood together, we work well together. Can I tell you why? Keep your cotton picking fingers and legs and arms and legs away from my chainsaw. Don't you reach for a piece of wood while I'm cutting. How many times have you heard me say that, amen? You say, why? Because I care about him. I want him to succeed, not fail.
Right.
You think I'd give him a job and say, I'm going to give you something, give it to him to do, and say, ha, he's going to fail, and I can't wait. I can't wait for Malachi to fail.
No.
That's evil. God doesn't work that way.
Amen.
God says, I have a job for you, and I know you can do it. You might not think you can, but I know you can. As long as you listen to me, we'll do this. That's how God works. Thank you, Malachi. Now, can I tell you something? If I wouldn't do that as an adult man to somebody that does not know, can I tell you something? Your heavenly Father loves you even more than that.
Yes, sir.
Why would he ask you to do something you cannot do?
Right.
Why would he ask you to go through something you could not go through? Am I doing all right? Got a phone call last night. My mom called me. She said, you'd have been trying to get a hold of Grandma today? Uh-huh. Did you get her? Uh-uh. She'd been at the hospital. 98 years old, broke a couple bones in her shoulder. Don't even know how. It's probably been broke for a week or two. They won't do surgery.
You say, why? At 98, you don't want to put them out. They might not come back. And I understand that. I texted all three of my children, let them know what was going on. All three of my kids, Dad, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Why? Well, with the news with Grandma Great. I said, I'm fine. I said, no, I'm not happy that she's hurt. But number one, it's not going to take her life. But even if it does, I said, I've been ready. 98 years, she's had a long life.
Yes, sir.
I said, and just so you know, Dad's going to be fine when the phone call comes that she's gone to heaven, because I know where she's going. No, I'm not going to be happy. Yes, I'll cry. You say, why? Because I'm going to miss her. But I'm not crying for her. I'm crying for me. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm going to cry for her? She's going to be happy. She's going to have her glorified body. She's going to be running and playing tag, aggravating my grandfather to death. After she sees Jesus, I can hear the first two words. Oh, Fred! I know it's coming. I know it. You say, why? That's what heaven's going to be like. But may I say this? I understand. I really do. My daughter, Daddy, are you okay? Yeah, why? Well, the news with Grandma. I said, I'm fine. I said, I expected this. Matter of fact, I didn't think she'd live as long as she has. I said, she's tougher than all of us. Now, wait a minute. Life is not some mystery or treasure hunt. God makes it easy for us to obey. He gave us an instruction manual. He said, if you just follow what's in that book, I'll make it easy on you, and I'll show you step by step what to do. It didn't say that he'd take all your problems away. He said he'd help you get through it step by step.
Amen.
Number two, I've got to hurry. There are many things in life that God wants personally himself to provide and be part of. Not only does God ask us to obey him, even when we don't understand, but number two, God, there are some things in life God just wants to personally help us through. God didn't only put the ram in the thicket. He provided Jesus as the lamb for our salvation.
Yes, sir.
God didn't just put a ram in the thicket.
He said, you think that's cool, Abraham? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what I'm going to do with my son, Jesus. I believe Abraham got the gospel by God himself.
Now, wait a minute. You're going to go through some pretty heavy-duty things. God wants to provide himself a lamb. The lady sitting right back there right now. 6-8 weeks ago, had twin baby girls. God took one to heaven. I wished I could tell you I understand why. I don't. Nobody understands why, but can I tell you something? God's provided himself for you. She's sitting back there today with a smile on her face, with the peace of God in her heart, with her children coming to church. Can I tell you something? God's provided himself for her.
Amen.
He stepped in personally to help her.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, it's just not fair. It's just not right, according to you, but what about according to God? Just because you don't see it the way God sees it doesn't mean it's not right. Who are you to tell God it's not right? God wants to show you what he can do. God wants to show you what he can do. Can I tell you something? God has provided himself for our church.
Amen.
How many of you just have $45,000 cash to give to the church? But God did. He said, here you go. We didn't ask for it. Didn't even know who had it. We just kept obeying. God started directing. And we had the man call us to give it to us. How often does that happen?
Sir.
I went to the mailbox last Sunday morning because I wasn't here when the mail came Saturday. Walked out to the mailbox about 5:30, 5:40 last Sunday morning. Walked back because it was too dark to read the mail outside. Walked back in, saw the name on the envelope. Not a church member, but somebody had visited here. Thought, should I read it? Should I not? Sometimes I get dirty, nasty letters of people that appear to like me, and then they criticize me, and I thought, well, I'll read it, and if it starts going negative, I'll just put it away and read it tomorrow. For some reason, and I don't normally open personal mail on Sundays, because I got to make sure I'm in a good mood. You don't want me to read bad mail and then come preach. Sometimes it's bad enough when I didn't read bad mail. If I read bad mail, it'd be worse. Oh, wait a minute. I opened up, and there was a check in there. I didn't look at the check. I read the letter. A little opposite of what you would do. But I didn't even look at the check. I pulled it aside. It was upside down in there. And I just pulled it aside, and I started reading. Very loving, kind letter from somebody who had visited our church. Then I turned the check over, and I looked at it. And I took my glasses off and rubbed my eyes, and I looked at it again. And I said, God, you got to be kidding. And I looked down again. It was a $10,000 check. You say, what'd you do? I ran back out to the mailbox and see if there was another one. After I took a lap around the building, amen. Praising God. God provided himself. Unusual circumstance, unusual situation. There's things that have happened. We had a little bump in the road with our bond situation. And the bond fellow we've been working with, he said, well, Pastor, he said, there's been a little change here, and it's going to be months, probably weeks to a month, if we don't. Otherwise, church has got to come up with $1,500 extra dollars. I said, God will take care of it. I said, we got to close on the property now. While I was talking to the fella, my secretary came into my office and said, Preacher, we just got a $1,300 check in the mail. can I tell you something? I said, while I'm talking to the guy, I said, oh, by the way, my secretary just handed me a note. We just had a $1,300 check given to the church for the building program. I said, God already provided. I said, got it yesterday. God knew yesterday we needed that before you even knew it, and God already provided it. Can you say a banker scratching his head, getting splinters in his fingers right now? That's called God providing himself. Do you know what God's doing with a piece of property for us? Every businessman I talk to, every engineer, everything else, they're... don't get mad at me.
But the property around our property is going for anywhere from $50,000 to $110,000 an acre. We're getting 4 acres for $89,000. Not only that, it's got all the water retention, the storm management water runoff, already dug for this building and the next. And it's got a well on it that's already dug. And it's got a 2-lane paved driveway. And it's got the deceleration lane, turn lane, in the front. Those things, not the property, but just those amenities are over $250,000 to put in. The land right next to it, the 12 acres right next to it, they want $53,000 an acre for that piece of property. You say, what are you doing? Well, the man that gave us $45,000, he said, hey, preacher, he said, how much do you want for that? I said, over $500,000. I said, I got to take care of this piece of property first, Doc. He said, tell you what you do. He said, see if you can buy 5 acres, and he'll give you the other 7 acres, and he can write it as a tax write-off and make more money. He said, he can donate it to the church then. I said, already thought of that, but I got to pay for this one first. I said, I got to get a building first. I said, we'll figure that out later. I said, God will work out the details on that one later. I said, but look at all we have on this property. I talked to a businessman, a very wealthy man. He's probably worth in the neighborhood of a couple $100 million in the local area here. Told him about that piece of property. He went out, looked at it. He said, Pastor, do you know how much these things are worth? I said, $250,000 minimum. He said, if you got all those done for $250,000, you're doing good. He said, you don't realize what you got there. I said, sir, I realize what God gave us for his work.
Yes, sir.
I said, I do realize that. Can I tell you something? That's called God providing himself. God providing himself. Now, we got a lot of work to do on it. We got a lot of work to do on it. But can I tell you something? God will provide himself. Did you know in the last 3 months we moved into this building, you all have passed out over 4,000 tracts? 4,000 gospel tracts. Just in the last 3 months. I had ordered tracts this week. I only ordered 5,000. Thought it might get us through. Oh, me of little faith. No lie. Cross my heart and hope Brother Joe dies. I was making a visit at the hospital yesterday. Little lady, she's been to our church once, but has family that comes to our church. She's got Alzheimer's. She's not even sure who everybody is yet. Sometimes she doesn't even recognize her own family. I told her who I was. Oh, that's nice. You know, one of those kind of things. You could tell, you know, the lights were on, nobody's home. God bless her heart. And I had two grandparents with it, and I understand. And I said, and I called her by name. And I said, I'm going to leave you with one of these so that your family knows I was here. She said, can I see that? I said, sure can. She said, I know this. She said, I got 3 or 4 of these. She said, you know that question? Would you like to know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? She said, I know the answer to that. Yes. She said, I got saved. She may not be all up there, but she's got it all in there. Amen. But she said, I got 3 or 4 of these, didn't she, Joe? She's not all together there, but she knew she got a whole bunch of these. She said, and I'm giving them out and showing them to everybody. You got to love that. You look at the number of people that have been saved and baptized at this church. It's unreal. It is unreal. God is providing himself. Look at the number of visitors our church has had. It is unreal. We're averaging over 4 visitors a Sunday, every Sunday, for the entire year. If we had no more visitors the rest of the year, that's averaging 4. If you take how many we've had up till now, we're averaging about 6 or 7 visitors a week. It's unreal what God's doing. Look how God has changed people's lives in this room.
I look right back here and see Larry and Sherry. At least I saw Sherry. I had to look for Larry. He's hiding behind his brother-in-law. I look back there. That fella nearly died last November, December. Walked into our church one Sunday morning with his wife. I shook his hand. I said, Doc, we're not a real fancy place, but we're going to have church. He said, not looking for fancy. Got done preaching. Somebody walked his wife down the aisle. One heard of Christ. Brother Ron Kisner, who's sick today, walked back. One Larry to Christ. They came back the next week. Brought a whole bunch of family members. Watch them get baptized in an old horse tank. I'm not sure they've missed one week since they got saved and baptized. Brought, I don't know how many visitors to church. Somewhere between 15 and 20 visitors at least they've brought to church since they've been coming to church. Then Sherry's brother got saved because they got saved. I could go on and on and on and on. I preached Sherry's brother's funeral. Brother Stolt and I walked out here. The family was starting to leave. You didn't know this, but your granddaughter walked out. She looked at me and she said, I want to shake the hand of the man that's changed my grandpa's life. And I said, who's your grandpa? She said, Larry. I said, oh. She said, you don't know what God's done in that man's life. I said, oh, yeah, I have. Man, he quit smoking. He he was a smokeaholic. Got saved, gave up everything. He was at prayer meeting yesterday morning.
Yes, sir.
I look back here and see Fred and Wally. Good night. Wally's the sweetest lady in the world, and Fred is Fred. One of the hardest rascals I ever met in my life. I told Wally I was going to go visit her husband. She said, oh, don't do that. Didn't you? She sat in my office. She said, preacher, don't do that. I don't know what he'll do. I don't know what he'll say. I said, I don't care. She said, you don't know Fred like I know Fred. He'll probably throw you off. I said, if he's in that bad of shape, he can't chase me. I did say that, didn't I? Knocked on his door, talked to him for about 10 minutes. He tried to push me away, standing in the stone cold with bare feet at the door. He wouldn't even invite me in. It was so stinking cold out there. I thought, well, if you're stubborn enough to stand there in bare feet, I'm tough enough to take it with my suit coat on, amen? He thought he was done with me. Then I went back and visited him again. He didn't know what to do with this old crazy Baptist preacher. After bouts to the hospital, near death, finally, he got saved.
Praise the Lord.
He was supposed to have been dead 8 months ago. He'd been on hospice for a year. Hospice came to his house this week and told him they have to take him off of hospice because he's doing too good and he's not going to die in the next 6 months. He was at prayer breakfast yesterday. Can I tell you something? That's called God providing himself. Look over here and see June and Sue. If you don't know their story, you got to talk to them about it. It's amazing. They had been hurt in church and hurt in church and hurt in church after church after church. They were actually having church at home, and I don't mean to be unkind. But all of a sudden, they decided it was time to try, and they'd been back in another church and got hurt again. They were going to start visiting churches, see if they could find one. He found out we're like a bag of potato chips. You can't come just once. Amen?
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. They came and they heard the preaching. He said, I can't believe somebody preached like that. I got to go back and hear that again.
Amen.
Came back the next time. He said, he did it again. Came back the next time and they joined the church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He's teaching Sunday school and helping, and Sue's been helping like crazy. Can I tell you something? God provided himself. We needed them as much as they needed us. And God was providing himself.
Amen.
I look back here and see Bob and Tammy and the story there. You wouldn't even believe, and I'm not going to embarrass them. But God has provided himself.
God.
I don't mean to be selfish, but God's changed my life in the last 4 years. I'd been an assistant pastor for 22 and a half, almost 23 years. I was happy being an assistant pastor. To you new people, you don't know this. I wrote a book about being an assistant pastor. I have a book called Follow the Leader. It's a great book on leadership and followership.
Yes, it is.
You say, why? It's 20 years of my life wrapped up in the pages of a book. I plan on being an assistant pastor my whole life. I said to God, it's going to take a stick of dynamite to get me into the pastorate. I didn't know he was going to use a case of C4.
Yes.
But he did. He blew me out of the water. 4 years ago, next Sunday, we started Grace Baptist Church. And God has changed my life. Hey, I realize I've had to do a lot of growing. I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting there. Can I tell you something? God has been so good.
Amen.
I'm enjoying life. I'm having fun. Somebody asked me this morning, how you doing, preacher? I'm having so much fun, I should be twins. I'm not kidding. And the whole world's glad I'm not twins. They'd hate both of us, including my mother. Now, can I tell you something? There are some times God wants to show himself.
Grace Baptist Church is a work of God, not a work of me.
Yes, sir.
Grace Baptist Church is not a work of you, it's a work of God. And God's hand still on it.
Amen.
I told Brother Stoltz recently, I said, Brother Stoltz, never want to get to the point where I expect God to do something. I want to keep asking him. I was up almost all night last night. I mean this. Almost all night. I laid in my bed awake all night begging God, Lord, please, would you do it again? God, would you do it again? Would you do it some more? God, please, would you do it again? Hey, we've got 7 visitors here this morning. We're going to see people get saved today. Can I tell you something? I'm about to shout. That's called God providing himself. Number 3. Why don't you join us in the great blessings? Why don't you decide to join us and be part of the blessing, not just sitting on the sidelines enjoying the show? Genesis chapter 22, verses 14 through 18. Let me read it real quickly here. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast not obeyed, or thou hast obeyed my voice. Can I tell you something? That's why America needs to be a friend of Israel. Because when you go against Israel, you're going against God's seed. And God said, I'll curse you. We'll be blessed as long as we stay with Israel. Did you hear that, Mr. President?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? As long as you stay part of doing what God says, God will bless you. Hey, can I tell you something? If you're not saved today, get saved and join the blessing. Nobody wants you to die and go to hell. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not talking about some religious experience. I'm not talking about being a good person. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone to take you to heaven. What He did for you to take you to heaven. Second of all, after you've been saved, why don't you obey Him? You ought to obey Him in your baptism. I didn't write it. God did. But I know this, the first thing we're supposed to do after we get saved, the first thing God commands us to do is to be obedient in baptism. It doesn't get you saved any more than that wedding ring makes me married. You know, I could take that off and never wear it, and I'm still married. People know I'm married because I wear that ring. That's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and it's an act of obedience. I can't explain it all, and I've been preaching for 36 years, but may I say this, there's an assurance that comes with your salvation because of baptism, but most of all, it's an act of obedience, and you won't obey Him in the other things in the Bible until you obey Him in the first thing He told you to do. So we can take care of that. Hey, if you're here, and you've been coming, and you've been saved, you've been baptized, why don't you join the church? Jump on in. The water's fine. You're crazy like the rest of us. It's all right. I believe you ought to join a church. Just going doesn't mean you joined. You ought to join the church. Now, if you got baptized at Grace Baptist Church, we automatically turn that into your church membership. But if you've been saved and baptized somewhere else, you need to join the church. Everybody got that? All right. Number 3. I think you ought to come to church every chance you get.
Amen.
Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I know this, you eat as often as you can. You need spiritual food as much as you need physical food. You ought to start coming to the other services as much as you can. Everybody doing all right? I really believe you ought to get involved. Can I tell you something? I think God could do some incredible things that if in the next 7 days, every person in this room invited 4 people to church next Sunday. Look what God could do. God would provide Himself. We're going to put a balcony in.
Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Say, how are you going to do that? wives are going to sit on the husband's laps.
Amen.
We're going to make our own balcony. Amen. We might have to double decker them, but we'll get them there. I'm not sure where we'll put everybody, but God will provide himself.
Yes.
I might have to put some chairs out in the hallway, open the door, and scream a little louder, but God will provide himself a place for everybody.
Amen.
We might have to rent a room down at the Comfort Inn, one of the conference rooms, if it keeps getting bigger. But we'll do what we need to do and keep on going and make God provide himself what we need. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Brother June walks out just about every Sunday. Preacher, we're not going to have room for them all. We're not going to have room. I know we're not, but we're going to figure it out. Amen. Say why? Because we're going to, why don't you just get involved? Can I tell you something? You don't have anything to be afraid of. It's all right.
Yes, sir.
You know, nobody's ever died because they asked somebody to come to church.
Amen.
It'll be all right. I promise you. God wants to provide himself a lamb. Abraham,
this isn't going to make sense to you. It didn't make sense, but he obeyed. And when he obeyed, look what God did. God provided himself. Grace Baptist Church, God's going to ask you to do some things. Might not make sense, but can I tell you something? God will provide himself. We're going to have to go through some dark days, but God will provide himself. We're going to face some opposition. Come tonight, we'll talk about that. We're going to face some opposition, but can I tell you something? God will provide himself. It'll work exactly the way God wants it, as long as we follow him and obey him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven if I died. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know 100% sure, but I'd like to know someday. I won't call your name. I won't call you out. But you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure. God bless you. Somebody else? All right. Who'd say, preacher? And I don't want you to raise your hand. You've been saved, but you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. Baptistry water is ready. It's warm. We've got all the clothing you'll need. Maybe you've been saved and baptized and you need to join the church. Let's do it today. Maybe you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and decide that you're going to get involved and do your part and do what God wants you to do. But whatever the need, who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands everywhere.